Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Ezra. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are at the start of Perek Chet, chapter 8. In chapter 7, we saw Ezra, we introduced Ezra, but we saw Ezra gather people to come to Israel. We saw the dates of his departure from Bavel, date of arrival in Israel, and we spent a lot of time on the royal decree from King Artaxerxes giving them supplies, promising to give support for the Beis HaMikdash, giving Ezra remarkable powers, giving remarkable powers to those who are going to work for the Beis HaMikdash, and in the end, we saw Ezra thank Hashem for influencing the king in this way and for all of his support. So now we're in chapter 8. The first 14 sentences in chapter 8, I'm not going to read aloud. It's a list of those who came with Ezra. So that, literally, it begins, Ve'el Rashei Avosehem V'Hisyachsam. Here are the heads of the families and their lineages. Ha'olim Imi, who came up with me. Remember, Ezra now speaks in the first person, as we saw at the end of chapter 7. Those who came up with me, B'malchus Artaxerxes HaMelech, during the reign of King Artaxerxes, Mi Bavel, those who came from Bavel. And then it just goes on, Mi B'nei Pinchas, Gerishom, Mnei Samar, Daniel, Mnei David, Chatush, Mnei Shechaniah, and so on. It's from the sons of this, from the family of this, so-and-so came. Why do we get such a list? So some of the reasons we gave for the list of names in chapter 2 of those who came with Zerubbabel and Sheshbatzar apply here as well. So there's a poetic style to having this this list. There's a bit of an element of triumph here, like, you know, wow, look, we've made it. There's also the possibility that we need the genealogy here for marriage purposes to know who can marry whom. It also makes the list of arrivals look long when you spell it out. On the other hand, it makes the list of arrivals look short, the fact that you can sum them up so briefly. You can read that either way. We had talked about the possibility that the families that arrive in these initial waves are the new nobility. Interestingly, some of the families that are here, we also saw members of those families in the list of the earlier arrivals in chapter 2. In particular, though, Rabbi Chaim Angel stresses here, based on an idea from Professor Tamara Cohen Ashkenazi, that there's another element, there's something else going on. They suggest that Ezra de-emphasizes his own importance and instead emphasizes the importance of the people who came with him. I'll read you a quote. This is from an essay that appeared in JBQ. The Literary Significance of the Name Lists in Ezra Nehemiah. Catchy name. Turning to the next outstanding figure in Ezra Nehemiah, we are introduced to Ezra with a pedigree tracing him back to Aaron and a document from Artaxerxes according him substantial authority, right? We've seen both of those. Those were in chapter 7. Given this remarkable introduction, the reader expects Ezra to dominate the narrative, both as a priest and as a sage. Yet the opposite proves to be the case. The first half of Ezra 8 provides a list of those who returned to Israel along with Ezra. At the conclusion of this roster, Ezra got others involved in bringing the Levites to Israel. We're going to talk about that next. This sets the tone for Ezra's transferring most of his authority to the people. It's an interesting idea. You might ask, if Ezra really is de-emphasizing himself, why did he record the start of chapter 7, several sentences documenting his lineage, son of this, son of this, son of this, son of this? Maybe that was because he felt the need to establish his credibility, or maybe he was specifically saying, the credit for my success goes to my ancestors. So that could be harmonized with this idea of Ezra's humility. In any case, we get the list of families who accompany Ezra. For some of them, we are given numbers for how many, not all of them, so it's hard to gauge exactly how many. I think I've mentioned already the idea from Professor Zir Kavod in the Dot Mikra, who estimates this list to be about 1,800 males who are being listed, meaning the heads of the families, and he suggested that that meant there were 9,000 altogether. I don't know. I don't have a better guess. But again, I'm not going through the list here. The only one that I will note is in chapter 8, sentence 4, where we mention Bnei Pachas Moav, the sons of the governor of Moav, descendants of the governor of Moav, the Pacha. But as we said, when we saw that name show up in chapter 2, when was a Jew ever the governor of Moab? So the Gemara in Tanis, Chav Ches Amud Aleph, says it's either a reference to David HaMelech or Yoav, who descended from Ruth, who was from Moab. So that could be. Although, when I taught this years ago, somebody asked, then why not just say David or Yoav? Why did you insist on saying Pachas Moav? That does seem very strange. You can give explanations. It still seems strange. In any case, we get to the end of that list of the people who came with Ezra, and now we are up to Pasuk Tes Vav, sentence 15. And here we get something very interesting. I gathered them, Ezra says, to the river that comes to a place called Ahava. For those who are not reading inside the text, it's not Ahava like love, it's Aleph, Hey, Vav, Aleph. Professor Zer Kavod in the Dot Mikra says this may be a place east of the Euphrates. This is where Ezra is gathering. Vanachaneh Sham Yamim Shalosha, and we camped there for 3 days. Why for 3 days? So the simple answer is to get people to join. But the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samach Hey Amud Aleph, says, interestingly, Ezra wants to daven. Ezra plans to daven. And here's a rule. Haba min haderech al yispalo shlosha yamim. You come off the road, you're not supposed to daven for 3 days. And they base it on this passage right here, this sentence right here. The idea that you need time in order to settle your mind. We, of course, don't wait 3 days in order to daven. Nonetheless, that's what Ezra is doing. He wants to settle his mind. So he journeys to this riverside site and then pauses there for 3 days because he wants to daven to Hashem. But then look at what happens. Va'avina, we're still in sentence 15. Va'avina va'amu va'kohanim. I looked at the nation. I looked at the kohanim. Umibnei Levi lo matzasi sham. And I didn't find a whole lot of Levium. They're not here. And this is understood to mean not the tribe of Levi, but Leviim, meaning non-Kohanim. Members of the tribe of Levi who are not Kohanim, they're not there. Now remember, even in the first list, you didn't have many Leviim. I think we said there were about 120 out of, you know, the 42,000 and change who came. So what does Ezra do? Va'eshlecha, I sent a message to Eliezer, Ariel, Shemaya, Elnatan, Yariv, Elnatan. Apparently there are two Elnatans. Natan, Zechariah, Meshulam, Rashim. These leaders. I sent a message to all of these leaders. There it is. Sentence 17. Va'atzave osam al ido harosh b'chasifya hamakom. And I sent them to this fellow Ido, who was the leader in a place called Kasifya. Va'asima b'fihem dvarim l'daber al ido achiv hanesinim b'chasifya hamakom. And I sent a message for them to convey to Ido. The word achiv there is unclear. Is that Ido and his brothers, or is there somebody else by the name of achiv? Doesn't change the story. Ezra sends a message back to the leadership in this place, Kasifya, and the leadership is not just this fellow Ido and or Achiv, but also the Nesinim. The Nesinim, remember, are people who serve the Beis Hamikdash. So I sent a message back for the Nesinim there to do what? Lahavi lanu misharsim lebeis elokeinu, to bring us people who are going to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Bring us Levim. That's Ezra's charge. Remember, he's got power. From Artachshasta. Vayaviu lanu kiyad alkeinu atova aleinu ish sechel mibnei machli ben Levi ben Yisrael. They brought us, with the generous hand of God, a man of intellect, Machli, son of Levi, son of Yisrael, as well as Sherevya ubana ve'achav shmona asar. Got another 18. I have some Levium. Now, these are known Levium. Professor Zer Kavod notes they're going to resurface in Nehemiah. Like, these are known people. So we got some Levium to join us, and Chashavya, and with him Yeshaya b'mnei Merari, Achav u'b'neihem, Esrim, another 20 that way. U'min ha'nesinim shenasan David v'asrim l'avodas ha'levium, also from the Nesinim, who are assigned by David, and we've talked about that before. I'm not revisiting who the Nesinim are. We got Masayim Ve'esrim, another 220. Kulam Nikvu B'Shemos. We've got all of them on a roster. So the not a roster that appears in the book. We're not about to get a list of this group. So they didn't get a tremendous number. Like, he brought some, but he did not get a tremendous number. Even the first group's Levium, as we said, were very small in number. We did have some Levium, but not too many. So the questions we have to ask are, why didn't more Levium show up for this Aliyah, and what is Ezra going to do about it? We are already at the 10-minute mark, and I try not to make Friday recordings terribly long. We have enough going on a Friday. So I'm going to pause here, and God willing, on Sunday, we'll start with those questions. Why are the Levium absent, and what is Ezra going to do about it?